There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
B-Pod Studios.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born. And at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
Now. Sports talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
The sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
In motion, wide to left. Jonathan Jones tries to keep up with him. Gesicki to the right. Fitzpatrick takes the snap. He's looking to the middle. He throws to the back of the end zone. Caught by Gesicki.
What a try.
Touchdown, Miami. 24 seconds to go. And the Dolphins have taken the lead.
What an unbelievable drive by Miami. Credit Chad O'Shea and Ryan Fitzpatrick. More importantly, Devontae Parker. Phenomenal playmaker down the side to get it going on a big 29-yarder. Gesicki, the pass-receiving tight end, with the big touchdown catch to take the lead late.
See, now why are we playing that?
Wow.
Why are we playing? Why are we opening up old wounds? Shame on you, Jones. Shame on you. Why are we opening up old wounds? Actually, that's a good thing. That's a good thing now. 17 games, that game's meaningless. That game doesn't mean anything. You were a wild card team. For weeks, we would have known you were a wild card team. You're not catching the Ravens. That game would have been all the pain of losing out on a bye week there, it wouldn't have mattered. You would have known the team was on a death march to losing wild card weekend for like a month at that point in time. It wouldn't have been so shocking. You wouldn't have had anything ripped away from you week 17 against the Dolphins. So while that may be a painful highlight to hear, Ted, and I apologize, New England, while that may be a painful highlight to hear, that's actually a good thing. You would have known. You would have known. You could have gotten Brady healthy there. That was a meaningless game last year. No intrigue, no interest in
well,
that.
Well, I mean, right. You were known. You've got already in the playoffs, but you were still playing for a first-round bye.
No, they couldn't have caught the Ravens there. Not in Week 17.
By beating the Miami Dolphins?
I don't think. No, they would have had the bye over the Chiefs if they won that week. Yeah. But there's no
right.
second.
That's what I'm saying. Oh, you're right.
But in the new format, there's no second bye week.
Boom. Gotcha.
You weren't playing for anything.
Same page. Okay,
you were just
gotcha.
You were just playing the Dolphins. Meaningless game.
Right.
Mike Gesicki, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Devontae Parker, they're not haunting your dreams.
Right, Silver platter. Thrown out the window.
It's
like an extra bye week.
It's almost.
What? Can I just, can we just go take a right turn real quick and then get back on?
Go left, wherever you want.
All right, let's take a quick right turn and then we'll get back on point. That game to me was inexcusable, that game.
Uh-huh.
I hear that highlight and I have different thoughts. What we're talking about is very appropriate to talk about that game because you just set it up perfectly to explain why.
Well, thank you.
But that game to me, not going for at least 3 points before the halftime, I was very critical of Bill in that game. In the post-game show on NBC Sports Boston, I couldn't believe what I was seeing. We're digressing a little bit. I just think, look, who's better at the two-minute drill? You want to ask me, apparently, when did I know? When did I know Tom Brady? Like, what stood out to you early in his career where you say, boy, this guy's got something? It wasn't the way he threw the football. It wasn't like his strong arm. It wasn't with his feet. It wasn't with his mobility. It was the way he ran the 2-minute offense. I mean, I'll never forget.
It's like all he did in Super Bowl 36. Like the only thing he did.
Okay, so
like, no offense. I mean, I know he's the greatest of all time, right. But he didn't do anything that whole game. Right. You guys did everything that game until the 2-minute drill. He didn't do anything.
There's nobody better at the 2-minute drill than Tom Brady, and to not give him an opportunity to at least try and march down the field, I thought was just not in the best interest of your team. That's all.
With three timeouts.
But he threw an interception earlier.
Against a horrible defense.
Yeah, he threw an interception earlier. Was it maybe a pick six?
It was to Eric Rowe. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But then they scored 10 points after that before halftime. So, okay. And it's Tom Brady. And please, I mean, he's the odds of getting 3 points. You get 3 points before the halftime.
See how much this has stuck with you? See how much that loss stuck with you?
Well, you know, I'm just
wouldn't even be a thing.
Right.
You wouldn't even care about it anymore. Which, again, people are like, oh, week 17. Or, you know, I guess it would, it would be week 17, still.
Yep.
But, yeah, oh, 17 playoff. Look, there's added intrigue for the postseason. Yeah. Well, there is at the bottom. At the top, there's less intrigue. Like, you know what the Patriots would have done? They would have treated that like a bye week. There would have been no reason for you to watch that game. So while you think there's more interest, probably you're going to wind up with a lot of teams sitting their players because there's one less bye week. Teams are going to treat that week. Teams that have it wrapped up are going to treat it more like a bye week.
And those are a very good point, and you've hit on it. You know, we've hit on it, I think, accurately. What's the more intriguing race? Is it to see who's going to be the seventh team to make the playoffs, or is it that team that's trying to get a first round bye that is so coveted, that second seed that's trying to get a first round bye? Second seed getting a first round bye that's way more compelling and intriguing than the seventh team.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I agree.
7-9, 8-8, team.
I'm sorry, you didn't want to see Duck Hodges and Jared Goff in the playoffs last year? That's not you?
That wasn't me, man.
Interesting. See, I think, again, I'll reiterate my overall point. For a fan, I think this sucks. And I get it. Oh, it's an extra game. And oh, it's an extra wild card game. Woo! Fans are stupid. They like more games. Yay! Yeah, they don't like more crappy games. They don't just like more games. Not everybody loves Thursday night football. And I'll take Thursday night football every day of the week over Monday night football. But not everybody likes more games if they suck. These games are going to suck. The wild card game may not suck. That's too strong. But you're going to get a sucky team in it.
Yeah.
Duck Hodges and Jared Goff would be your playoff teams. Sorry, that sucks.
Here's Adam. You have a team that's the second seed now that doesn't get a first round bye with these new rules that are being proposed.
Uh-huh.
They have to play an extra game against a crappy seventh seed. The chances of that 2 seed winning the Super Bowl, I would think percentage-wise, decreases very, very much. And so it's just another.
Well, it's interesting you brought that
because
up.
Because it's the extra game and playing game, playing 3 games to get the Super Bowl is so much harder. It's so much harder to do.
The Patriots haven't done it. Like, the Patriots have not gone from the wild card round. Right now, there's been plenty of times where they've been the 1 seed and it's irrelevant. This new formatting is irrelevant because they get the bye week, right? But the Patriots have not done it. Under Belichick and Brady, have not done it. Gone from the wild card even to the Super Bowl. Never mind winning the Super Bowl. Right, they did it in 86. That's it. So here, a little history on the Patriots, right? A little history. And this involves, you know, some of your playing days. I already brought up 01, which you're not sure you guys win the Super Bowl in 01, which, you know, happened to be a pretty important Super Bowl. Just, you know, launched the dynasty. That happened to be a pretty big one. 2004, I'm with you. You guys could have started anywhere and probably won the Super Bowl that year. So I'm not sure 2004 it would have mattered. I got this off NBC Sports Boston, and I forget the author. It wasn't Curran. It wasn't Perry. I forget the author. My apologies. The elimination of one of the byes could have a significant impact on the Patriots. Since Bill Belichick took over as coach before the 2000 season, the Patriots made it to the Super Bowl 9 times. In each of those seasons, they've had a first-round bye. In the Belichick era, the Patriots have been the AFC's number 2 seed 6 times.
Mm-hmm.
6 times in 20 years they've been the 2 seed. They've had the benefit of a bye week from there. They advanced to the Super Bowl and won 3 times in those 6 instances. And it's fair to wonder if they would have had a similar chance to advance had they needed to play another game, even if it was against the 7th-seeded team. So here you go. It's exactly what we're talking about. 01, 04, 18, mm-hmm. right? Those were all number 2-seeded mm-hmm. years. Those are years where they were the number 2 seed, did not have overall home field advantage, did not get overall home field advantage in any of those cases. You had to go to Pittsburgh in 01. You had to go to Pittsburgh in 04. You had to go to Kansas City in 18. Not only do you have to go on the road now, but you're playing a whole extra game.
Yeah.
And even if it's a crappy seventh-seeded team, the Steelers, it still makes the path that much longer, that much harder. There's that much more opportunity to slip up. And
guys to get hurt.
Guys to get hurt. The Patriots have had, you know, this great system of just get the bye. Get the one seed. If you don't get the one seed, get the two seed. You're home on divisional round. You skip the wild card round. All you got to do is win at home, and you're a step away from the Super Bowl. That's been the formula forever. That formula now goes out the window, yep. Or at least it's a little harder to achieve that formula, yep. Because you can't be the two seed. You can't sneak in as the two seed. You got to be the one.
It just makes all the difference in the world. It really, really does. And so, we were playing so hard for. I'll give you one quick story.
I like stories. You don't even need to keep it quick. Like stories.
This story kind of highlights.
This is not Felger and Maz. Story time is welcome.
Story time. Okay, good. All right. But I like that we're. It's not a ton of grab ass either, which is a Felger and Maz staple, which I'm okay. Which I like. But the '96 team. All right. We're going into the Wayback Machine.
That's my
love that team.
Okay.
This is
Royal
before
Blue.
This is before I was a broken man. This is before I hated life. This is before I was a broken
Ted,
man.
Look behind you.
You were jaded.
Ted Tuck.
There you go. You weren't a jaded and by the world yet at that point, Adam. Okay. So 96, we go in week 17, we are playing the New York Giants. Mm-hmm. We'd already wrapped up a playoff berth going into week 17. All right. So we go into that last game against the Giants in the Meadowlands. It was one of the all-time great Patriot games. I don't know if you remember that, but we won it like in the last second.
Did Dave Meggett have like a big punt return?
Yes, and he also did something.
Yeah, I was going to say, okay. Well, so I don't want to get into much of his off-field life there, but
we're talking about on the field.
Yeah, I remember he had a big punt return. I feel like Troy Brown had a big play, and
he had a huge fourth down catch where he's like almost on his back, and Chris Slater and I stand next to each other, and we go, he just makes plays. Troy Brown just makes plays. I mean, it was an unbelievable catch on his back on fourth down. But we go out in the first half of that game, and we crap the bed. I mean, the Giants score 19 points. Our offense, it's 19-0 or 17-0 at halftime. And it was the best halftime speech I've ever heard by Bill Belichick. I mean, excuse me, it was Bill Parcells. So, you know, we meet with the coordinators after. I mean, we are down. That locker room after clinching a playoff berth the week before and how excited we were. And now the first half of this game at halftime, we are just down because we didn't show up that first half. Parcells, we all get together before we go out to take the field for the second half. Parcells looks at us, shakes his head in disgust, turns and walks out. Doesn't say one word.
Didn't say anything.
Didn't say a damn thing. And it was like, oh boy, we go out there. They don't score a point in the second half. And we win with a Drew Bledsoe to Ben Coates on the 2-yard line. He catches the ball. He's getting tackled. And then here comes Meggett and pushes him in across the goal with like, little time left to win the game. We go in at the end of the game after that game. I have never seen a more excited locker room. You know why? Because we knew we earned a first round bye. That first round bye, we knew our chances of getting the Super Bowl had just increased hugely.
Yeah.
By winning that game.
And then Jacksonville took out Denver. And then you guys shut out the lights on Jacksonville in the AFC Championship game. You guys turned out the lights on them.
Turned out the lights on the Steelers the week before, too.
Did you in both?
Yeah, the Fog Bowl.
Oh, Fog Bowl.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, well, you kicked the crap out of the Steelers. I understand. Legitimately, the lights got turned off on Jacksonville.
And then you guys were going
to the Super Bowl.
It was just my point is winning that game, knowing we got our first round bye, gave us such a jolt. It was like, dude, we get the week off. Why watch all these other guys going out there at the end of a long season and having to play an extra game to get to? We knew there was a huge physical and psychological advantage to getting that first round bye. That's the point I'm trying to make.
I remember Bledsoe started so bad. He had the intentional grounding, got a safety. Then he threw a pick six. I think it was.
What game are we talking about?
The Giants game. Seahorn had the pick six on him. And it's just like, that was awful.
Yeah.
It was like 21-0, 22-0 in the half. Yep. Awful.
Yeah.
Awful.
And then Parcells just.
But that intentional grounding.
Looks like, at us like we, I mean, he, it was the best. He was so just.
No, but the point,
as far as a motivator, do the best.
But the point is, you knew the difference. You're a wild card team. You're probably not going to the Super Bowl that year.
Yep.
you're a team that gets a bye week. You know, things fall your way. You wind up going to the Super Bowl that year. 617-779-0985. What should the players be trying to get out of these owners? I would certainly argue more than a point and a half out of total revenue. Let's hear from a former player rep, 10-time NFL veteran Ted Johnson, coming up next.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
Everybody, it's the moment you've been waiting for.
Hot takes.
Where you can clearly see there's a gap where the tip digs in, and then boom, it pops up.
Oh, yeah. Zoe and Beetle.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Adam Jones, Ted Johnson in for Zolak and Bertrand as we take you up until 2 o'clock here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. We got all your phone calls, 617-779-0985, reacting to the news that it sounds increasingly likely, far from a done deal. I keep making it sound like it's a done deal. These players are probably going to cave, which is why I make it sound that way. But it's not like they've agreed to the 17-game schedule. It's not like they've agreed to an added playoff team in each conference yet. They probably will, and they probably will by March 18th because, again, they cave. It's what they do. The only trade-off they're getting, as far as I have seen, Ted, and I'm sure there's more to it, but the only reported give-back that the owners are trading off with the players is instead of the players getting a 47% cut of the total revenue, they're going to go to 48 or 48.5, depending on the timing of all of this, which, again, an extra 0.5% if they agree to it by March 18th and we get the 17 games. So, I don't know, an extra 1.5% split amongst 1,700 players when you're not even getting half of the pie. You said the players used to get 60%?
Yes.
They used to get 60%.
Before 2011.
And, now they're currently getting 47, and they're going to be able to get all the way back to 48.5.
Right, right. The owner, I mean, you gave 12, 13% back? I mean, it was a huge, huge give back by the players. I could not believe. But they got uniformed working conditions. They got less hitting. They got shorter off seasons.
Yeah, and they didn't lose any game checks. Because that's ultimately what they were about to start losing. That one was getting close to losing game check territory.
Right, it did. Right. So I guess I would be shocked if it's – because I've just been hearing D'Amore Smith talk about, hey, players, you guys need to
save 2 years worth of income.
Right. And so to hear reports that this thing's close to maybe getting done
– 2 years worth of income.
Is insane. So you kind of look at – and you posed the question earlier, and I'm glad you did, Adam, is this – I'll say what are the big issues? Like if you're behind the scenes, if you're a player and your owner,
what do you want?
Clearly you know what the owners want. They want more games and they want more teams in the playoffs, obviously, because it raises revenue.
They want more dollars. That's all they care about. Right. So yeah, we'll add an extra game. And sure, because it's 17 games and it's imbalanced, maybe we can do like these gimmicky things at, you know, different stadiums, college stadiums, baseball stadiums, play them overseas. We'll make more money off of that. Added playoff teams, that's more revenue. Mm-hmm. Added gate for the home teams and all these other things. And added TV window. There's a whole added week of inventory now. So yeah, I mean, they just want to increase their profits. That's all. So it's obvious what the owners want. Okay. They don't care about anything else. What do the players want?
If I'm a player, these would be the topics that I would be pushing for to get done, or the things to at least try and bargain with the owners to get over, changed. All right. And one would be, can we just make pot legal? Can we just, can we be done with that? That would be obviously a give back by the owners. Currently, it is illegal. It's for players to use it, even though it's huge for medicinal purposes. I know, yes, you can. Can you get high from high? Yes. All right. But there's also, I think, it's a better alternative for pain management. It's a better alternative, I think, to alcohol, which a lot of guys have issues with alcohol, and obviously the opioids. So can we just, I mean, we're all evolved society. We know the benefits of it now more than we ever have. Can we make that legal? That's, to me, that's going to be happening. I can't imagine the owners have an issue with that. The other thing, if I'm like, okay, you want more games? More games, more risk for me. I know it's a little bump in pay, but it's at the end of the day, I don't think it's worth playing an extra game. Lifetime insurance. Guys don't have lifetime insurance. And the problem is a lot of current players, they don't think beyond. You know, I wish more former players had input in these negotiations because they would all say lifetime insurance would be huge if you could negotiate lifetime insurance. I believe baseball has it. You know, I'm almost positive.
Well, if you're a vested veteran, right? I mean, you got to hit X amount of years, but yeah.
Vested in baseball is 6 years. Vested in football is 4 years, 3 years and three games. I would ask for, you gave back so much of the pie, of the GGR, designated gross revenue, in this last negotiation.
Wait, so I just thought about this. It's 3 years and three games?
3 years and three games.
So it's even harder to get vested as a player now. It's going to take you three extra games to get there. You got to play 17, 17, 17, and then the extra three to be a vested veteran, right?
That's correct.
Maybe they'll change that. Maybe they'll just say, maybe they'll say 3 years because maybe there'll be a trade-off there.
That's interesting, yeah.
But yeah, it's even harder to be a vested veteran.
So three,
that's another way the players are screwing themselves.
3 years equals one credited season, okay? So I would ask for more than pie back. Like, hey, we gave you 13%, but now they would be getting, half a percentage point back?
A point and a half.
All right, so that's you know, that's better than nothing. You know what? Keep pushing for guaranteed contracts. You know, I know, a lot of times I think contracts are kind of structured now. The signing bonus, usually more than any, you see, Kirk Cousins getting guaranteed. There's some guys that you can get a guaranteed contract, but it's rare once you make it a rule that everybody gets guaranteed contracts. Well, the league will go broke. Yeah, I worry about that.
I'm not concerned about them going broke whatsoever.
That's what the owners would say.
No, that's what they'll say, of course, but I wouldn't be concerned.
And then I would, and then another issue that I think is interesting is PEDs. Make certain PEDs optional or legal.
Like what?
Human growth. The benefits, I think, far outweigh.
Does any sport do that?
No, I don't think so.
So they'd be the first. The NFL's usually not the first to do anything.
You're exactly right.
I mean, in terms of, they're draconian when it comes to stuff like that.
The long-term risks, and people are going, oh, my God, kids are listening. I'm not saying steroids. I'm talking about human growth in a controlled way.
Regulated way.
There's huge benefits, and the risks aren't what people think. And so, to me, that would be those five issues right there. Lifetime insurance, marijuana, more of the GGR, guaranteed contracts, and make certain PEDs legal.
So I hate to say it. The only thing that's going to happen, I think, this go-round is the weed. I bet the players get – I haven't read it yet, but I bet that's going to happen. And this is all, by the way, a precursor. Maybe the owners try to keep weed in their back pocket because this is all a precursor to an 18-game schedule. Like, you agree with that. They're going to 17 now because go to 17, that makes 18 more palatable. Mm-hmm. And then they guarantee they're going to keep growing their revenue. Oh, well, great. In eight years, 10 years, we're going to go to an 18-game schedule. Maybe we'll go to eight playoff teams in each conference, and that's guaranteed growth. Maybe we'll go international, and that's guaranteed growth. We don't have to expand the league. You know, we don't have to change things too drastically. What I would do, and I said this earlier, if I were the players, and I really think this would benefit fans, players, and ownership, this deal does not, to me, benefit the fans, though I understand others will argue it. Hey, it's an extra week of football. It's an extra couple of playoff games on wild card weekend. So you can argue it benefits the fans. I would not argue that. You're watching a more watered down product.
Agreed.
Mark Cuban said, pigs get fat, hogs get slaughtered. We're just watching worse football. We already have plenty of bad football to watch with the former AAF and XFL. If you want to watch bad football, you already have places to watch it. I don't need to watch it in the NFL on my Sunday. So I would argue this is not good for fans. I would argue this is not good for players. It's great for owners. They again, are taking the players and absolutely bending them over in another negotiation. Here's what I would say. And this would have been my proposal, and I don't think it's going to happen. And I stole this from Stephen Douglas over at the Big Lead, and I think it's brilliant. Just add a week. Add a week of football. Right now it's a 17-week season. It's 16 games, but it's a 17-week season. Go to 18 weeks. There's still now a Week 18 Monday Night Football game. There's a Week 18, or I guess they wouldn't be Week 18 because there isn't one in Week 17. Right. But now you'd add it to Week 17 right. Where there isn't one.
Yep.
There's a Week 17 Thursday Night Football game. There's a Week 17 Sunday Night Football game. Week 17 Monday Night Football game. None of which exist
Saturday
right
games
now.
Too, at the end.
Add some Saturday games if you want. Yeah. There's an added week of inventory. You shrink your schedule a little bit because you're going to add a bye week for every team, which is good for the players. Now the players get two bye weeks. You play 16 games, two bye weeks. You're not playing an extra game with the same amount of bye weeks, increasing the stress on the players. You're actually reducing that. And on top of it, I think it's better for the fans. You get an extra week of football still, and you're not watering anything down. If you want to expand the playoffs on top of that, fine. I'd cave on expanding the playoffs. I don't like that, but that to me is the less onerous of the two things they're adding.
Do you think this, so from a TV standpoint, TV revenue, TV contracts, it's
a whole extra week of football on the calendar. TV, the TV contracts would have to grow.
So, where would you not make money is in what? Ticket sales, because your team's playing
correct.
One last
there would not be an added gate. Owners would be increasing revenue based on TV, but not on ticket sales and gates and concessions and
which
everything else.
Probably at the end of the day is a pimple on the butt compared
to TV.
What the TV is.
TV is where they make their money.
Right.
So
right.
I think everybody would have to give back a little bit, but that to me would satisfy everyone, the fans, the players, and the owners. Unfortunately, the owners don't care about everyone. They care about themselves. They care about their bottom line. That's all they care about, and they come out of this winning again. They give back a point and a half, and they sound magnanimous, and they sound super fair, and really they're still making 51.5% split between 32 billionaires compared to the 1,700 players who are getting 48.5%. Oh, we're giving them $5 billion. Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
You're giving each player $5 billion? Well, no. Oh, okay, well, then all the players are going to split $5 billion next year. Well, no. That $5 billion number from Adam Schefter, I'd like to see how that's broken down. That's over the life of the CBA. How long are those CBAs, collective bargaining group? How long are those? Six years, 10 years?
6 to 10. The last one was 10 years.
Let's call it 5. So that's $1 billion
a year. You can negotiate, I think, the length
sure.
of each.
Let's call it 5 for simple math purposes.
Right.
Okay? That's an extra $1 billion for the players each year. But again, split between 1,700 of them. So, you know, that. Meanwhile, the owners are getting the same thing on the other side with the increased revenue. So, no, the owners are coming out of this massive winners again. And I think football fans don't win. I know the players don't win. 617-779-0985. Sarge has all the latest here in your Hub headlines, and then we can mix things up a little bit. I know we have a TED Talk coming up with some of the stuff that Ted has missed. I do have a quick thought on your Boston Bruins as well. We'll get to that next.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
Now it's time for more of Zolak and Bertrand.
That's what you put in your mouth in the morning.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Near circle, it's Nurse, left of the net. Had it punched behind the cage, and now the Bruins with a chance. Krejci. Feathered ahead, Pastrnak into the slot, walks in, back in, he scores! David Pastrnak slips a backhand five hole. That's number 43, and it's a game winner here in Edmonton. Bruins victorious in overtime, 2-1.
Late finish last night out in Alberta. Bruins wind up getting the victory over the Oilers. No Connor McDavid. You know, no best player in the NHL on the other side, but whatever. Bruins get the win, 2-1 in overtime. Pastrnak with the game winner, his 43rd. As the Bruins continue to play exceptionally well, but don't really pull away from the Tampa Bay Lightning, who remain hot on their heels. And, well, here's a novel concept. Tampa Bay continues to improve their team, make a trade. With the deadline looming on Monday. And it's Adam Jones, Ted Johnson, in for Zolak and Bertrand here on a Thursday, 11:40 as we come up on noon. I want to get to a TED Talk. Mm-hmm. You know, Ted, it's been a little while since you've been here on these airwaves, you were telling us.
Yep.
So you got a few things lying around, a few things that are bothering you that are things that you want to weigh in on that we're going to get to. You'll give a TED Talk here coming up about 10 minutes from now. Does that sound good?
Sounds great. Yep. Looking forward to it.
So on the Bruins, Tampa's won 11 in a row. The Bruins are 3 points up on Tampa. The Lightning have a game in hand. And, you know, it's significant. We're talking about playoff formatting in the NFL and what the bye week would mean. Like, you know, you'd much rather be the number one seed, I think anyway, in the Atlantic Division than having to play Toronto again, even though the Bruins have been good against Toronto. I guess it's no given you're getting the Maple Leafs these days. The Panthers are right there with them. But I think you'd rather have the one seed than not have the one seed. I think that goes without saying. When it comes to the Bruins, we're all waiting for them to make a move. We're all waiting for them to make a move. Oh, we got this guy in our hip pocket, Tyler Toffoli. Oh, they're going to be in on this player over here. And then they're not. At least they haven't been to this point. And the Bruins are a good team. They're a really good team. You know, they were Game 7 of the Cup Finals last year. Don't bring that up. Don't remember how that went. But they were there last year. They're at the top of the standings all year long. They've been there pretty much from day one all year long. Fans are waiting for them to make a move. And I'm curious, Ted, you know, as a player, I know the NFL trade deadline's a lot different than the NHL, and it was even more different in your playing days than even the NFL's trade deadline is now. You know, I don't want to say you're looking over your shoulder waiting for help, but I do wonder how a lack of a move, or at least the lack of a significant move for the Bruins, I wonder how that impacts the locker room. You spend a lot of time in professional locker rooms. Like, there's got to be times where you look at it and you say, we're deficient here, we're deficient there. Are they going to make a move? Is Bill going to bring somebody in? Are they going to make a move for us? Or in this case, Sweeney, are they going to make a move? Like, how real is that in a locker room?
Yeah, I think it's a real thing. I think more times than not, players want your front office to make a bold move to improve your team if you can. You know, I find it interesting the kind of the dichotomy between maybe what the Celtics culture, how they think versus maybe how the Bruins culture thinks.
Fandom, you mean?
As far as front office and the value of their players and chemistry and changing things, I feel like there's a reluctance from Danny Ainge to change, bring in a new guy because of, maybe it's a smaller team, the culture, they're more tight. It's just, we don't want to bring in a new guy because we just love all of our guys. And so, we don't want to mess up the chemistry and disrupt that. Or I feel like the Bruins and Bruce Cassidy, they're like, screw that. Like, let's just bring in our best guys. And whoever, if we have to let go of a guy that we all love, but maybe is underperforming and we think we can upgrade, okay, that's such is life. It's a, I think of the movie Miracle, right? When Herb Brooks brings in his player from Minnesota halfway through the season or halfway through training camp and is like, the guys are like, they don't want him because we're family. That's in college and that's in the Olympics and that's in high school. But in the pro leagues, who cares? I don't think that, the players want your front office to make upgrades at the trade deadline if you're a team that is in contention. So I think players would be disappointed if they don't go out and get somebody to help upgrade them where they feel they're deficient. You saw last year's at the trade deadline. I mean, they picked up a couple of guys that have really, really helped them out, right?
Well, and I agree. Yes. I mean, Johansson was awesome. I mean, Coyle's still here and has been signed to a long-term extension. So those were good moves by Sweeney. I do think that deadline is a bit of the outlier for him. He's been aggressive. He's made moves. You know, one year the big move he brought in was Stempniak and John Michael Lyles. Yeah. The other year was Nash, which I liked. I mean, I thought that was a bold move and I applauded it, but it didn't really work out. Like, Rick Nash did not work out. So I really don't have a high degree of faith that Sweeney is going to make the right deal. He'll probably make a deal. I don't have a high degree of faith he's going to make the right deal. He did last year. I think he's going to do something. You know, I don't think he's going to pull a Danny Ainge and sit on his hands, to your point. But the locker room is clamoring for it. They should be clamoring for it. The fan base is clamoring for it. I think he's going to make a move, but is he going to take a big enough swing? I don't know. And I do wonder what impact that has on that dressing room.
Yeah, it's only time will tell. We'll hear maybe after the trade deadline comes and goes, we'll hear what the players really think. And usually you hear, typically, in baseball in particular, like they're very vocal about their displeasure with the front office if they don't make moves.
Were you in Houston when they didn't make a move at the deadline and then they went out and signed Verlander in like September?
Yes.
You were there? You were still there in Houston?
Dude,
you weren't here
Adam,
yet. And the players, I remember the Astros came out.
Dallas Keuchel couldn't shut up about it.
Yeah.
He was so critical of Jeff Luhnow at the time for not making a move. I mean, and there was other players. There was a lot of guys on that team that were very critical of the front office of the Astros for not making a move on that first trade deadline, right, with end of July.
Yeah.
And so they're very vocal about it. And so then they go out and get Verlander at the August 30th deadline, that second
non-waiver trade deadline.
Non-waiver trade deadline, which I don't believe exists anymore.
Nope, gone
right?
now.
And all of a sudden, it was like a shot in the arm. I mean, those guys were babies about it. And so it's, you know,
no,
maybe it's different.
Not
baseball players.
Come on.
Not
baseball players and not right. that team. Those guys aren't babies. Maybe, that doesn't sound like them.
Maybe it's just the sports cultures in each, you know, leagues are just different. But I feel like I think hockey is guys kind of know the deal, man. If you have a chance and the Bruins have a chance to win the whole thing again this year, I think it's going to be a daunting task, obviously, because these playoffs are grueling. But if you think you have a chance and you have a team worthy of maybe making it all the way and you don't make a move, that will have an impact in that locker room.
Especially if you know, you agree, and Hardy and I were talking about this a little bit earlier in the week, if you agree, the window's shutting a little bit. And in fairness, we've been talking about that almost as long as we've been talking about that with Brady, it seems. Yep. We've been talking about that with the Bruins. Like, how much longer do you have with Chara and Bergeron? We talked about that last year. Is this their last run together? And it looks like they may have another, but especially if you feel that window's shutting a little bit, the urgency should be there. And the trade deadline hasn't come and gone yet, but it's getting awfully close, especially when you're missing out on guys who you had in your quote-unquote hip pocket. That makes me nervous, and it's not just about not improving the team. It's about how it plays in the dressing room.
Yep, and I thought that Sweeney kind of miscalculated a little bit, and maybe I still feel like it could catch up to them as the season goes on, that you didn't do more in free agency, that you didn't mix the team up. You had a great team last year, obviously. You almost won the whole damn thing. But I just felt like, you know, you need turnover. You need fresh faces. You need new guys coming in to kind of reinvigorate the core guys that are already there. And, you know, look, they've had a great season up to this point. So maybe, you know, my thinking on that maybe is being proven wrong. But, you know, there's still a lot of hockey left to play.
Yeah.
And you don't want things to get stale. Bringing in new guys.
Yeah, you don't like Par Lindholm?
No.
That wasn't a big move for you?
That didn't get me excited that much. That did not blow my skirt.
I mean,
up.
It's only been like 4 years in a row they've needed a top six wing for David Krejci there, or someone on Krejci's right wing. Like, at some point, they're going to address it, you would think. 617-779-0985. Brief little respite there on the Bruins. We'll get back to the NFL, their scheduling, and, some possible weapons for Tom Brady coming up. But coming up next, we have a talk with Ted Johnson. Let's call it a TED Talk next.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in, and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
Miss something?
You gotta wear your lucky jersey, don't wash the lucky socks,
rub your ball 16 times.
Yep. Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now, back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's Home for Sports.
Up on noon, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Adam Jones, Ted Johnson in for Zolak and Bertrand. A lot of me yammering away, as there always is, Ted, right? Too much Jones, too much me yammering away. So we figured, it's been a little while since you've been on these airwaves. There's got to be some stuff piling up, some things that are bothering you, some things you may want to weigh in on. So we thought it would be good for you to give a TED Talk. That sounds cool. That sounds pretty sweet. So what's been grinding your gears? What's bothering you? What's been something you've been meaning to get off your chest?
You got it, man. It's been a long time since I've been on the Sports Hub. I've been doing TV lately, but not on the radio airwaves. So a lot of these stories are old. Yeah. Thanks, Rick. It's a lot of these stories are old, and probably all the shows here have been talking about it and debating these topics, but I wanted to weigh in on them if I could. And so one of the things that is recently started up that has been in planning stages for the last couple of years was the XFL, okay? Mm-hmm. Part deux, right?
And so hang on. If you didn't see it, Sarge just gave that a little clap. Sarge just gave that a very enthusiastic clap.
Okay, this will be good. Yep. Mm-hmm. Sarge, this will be good.
Sure.
Okay? All right. So there's what I do like about the new league, spring league here, if you will, mm-hmm. is I do like when leagues or commissioners try to do something different. Like just see how it goes. I mean, there's a lot of things that fail, but I like that at least they are trying, okay? And here's some of the things I did like about the XFL and didn't like, okay? One of them was, if you're going to be different from the NFL and maybe separate, because obviously that's what the XFL is trying to do, I don't mind the in-game interviews. Although, what I will say, it's a little bit over the top. It's too much. I mean, I'm hearing the offensive coordinator talk to the quarterback. I'm hearing the quarterback make the audibles. I'm hearing the defense, the wide receiver that just caught the touchdown pass, talk about the touchdown pass and the route and what they were thinking after every play. And then you're seeing the halftime speech from the coaches. It's like, okay, a little bit of this is not bad.
I like a lot of the mic'd up stuff, but the player interviews are a little much. I agree with that. The mic'd up stuff I like.
Okay,
too many interviews. I'll give you that. A few interviews in game I like.
Okay, do you like? And this is maybe like a Tony Romo kind of esque thing, if you will. Do you like knowing the plays before they happen? So the guy that's doing the color, probably a former player that played. He hears what the call is, and that guy knows from studying or talking to the coaches what play is about to happen, and he'll diagram the play.
I like it in moderation. I feel like Tony Romo goes a little too far over the line sometimes, and he's not as right all the time as people like to make him sound. So I got a little thing for Tony Romo, but generally I feel like that's not a bad thing for the fan. Okay. Yes,
I got a good thing for Tony Romo. I got a thing for him in a good way.
Yep,
we might.
He's a handsome guy,
but I just think it's. I like a little bit of that. You're right. So in the moderation, maybe. Sometimes the color guy gets a little bit overzealous as far as diagramming. This is what's going to happen. He's going to run a post route. He's going to run a double move here. It's like, all right, dude. Sometimes I just like to watch what's going to happen and make
Right.
I did enjoy. So Pep Hamilton, you talk about fall from grace. You remember when Pep Hamilton? So he's the, head coach of one of these teams.
Yep.
It's funny to see who's coaching these teams because a lot of them were former coaches in the NFL.
Yeah, like Bob Stoops is one. Right, so he's a college guy, but there's a bunch of NFL assistants, ex-NFL assistants.
I look at Pep Hamilton.
Jerry Glanville, he's a coordinator.
Love Jerry Glanville. Love Jerry. I think he's way past his prime, lost his fastball, but it's I like these
June other. Jones is another one, right?
June Jones is another one. But Pep Hamilton, if you remember, do you remember Pep Hamilton's entry into the NFL?
No, I know he came up with the Colts. Was he their offensive coordinator with Luck, right? Did he come from Stanford?
He came from Stanford.
Okay.
And he was hired by the Colts to be the offensive coordinator when Andrew Luck was the first overall pick.
So to ease the adjustment from college.
Right.
Okay.
And so you just sit there and you go, and now he's coaching in the XFL. So you just Pepper Johnson, who got passed over time and time again for the defensive coordinator job here, went on to Buffalo and other places. He was the defensive coordinator for XYZ team. I don't remember week one and then.
For a week.
Yeah, L.A.
Anyway, that's
lost his job after 1 week.
Yeah. After 1 week.
1 week.
But what I did like, and I thought this was interesting because I feel like this maybe happens in the NFL games more than we know. We just don't get to hear about it. Is Pep Hamilton was giving the play to, I think his quarterback was Cordell Jones. Okay. And he was like, hey, look to 29. So the defensive back he's tired. He's gassed. And I thought that was interesting. Like, hey, look to throwing it to 29 side because he looks gassed. I thought that was really an interesting kind of thing to hear was, all right, so you're looking at the players their body language. How are they acting on the field to give you kind of a sign on where you want to go? I thought that was really interesting. I don't mind the 1, 2, 3 points. Like
the extra points.
Oh, I love that.
I kind of like that.
It's yes.
I do. There's something I
don't
like
need,
that.
I don't need any kicking.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
How about the kickoff?
Okay. A lot of people are criticizing the kickoff.
I love it.
You know what I say about the kickoff? Let's see how it goes.
What don't you like about the XFL? That's what I want to hear over here. Okay. You like everything that Vince McMahon's doing, apparently. What don't you like?
What I don't like? Yeah. The only thing I don't, it's the quality of play, like particularly the quarterback play.
Yeah.
I mean, Matt McGloin, bless his heart.
Well, there's no run game.
He gets, right. It's
it's no run game.
I think it's just the quality of the play, but particularly what stands out the most is the lack of quality quarterback.
So, by the way, the XFL got good ratings week two as well. I personally did not watch week two. I watched week one. I didn't come back for week two. I'm not saying I'll never go back, but I tuned in for, you know, the circus. I tuned in for, you know, the intro week. And then after that, I didn't tune back in week two, but the ratings were good for week two. Overall, I'm a thumbs up on the idea of the XFL because of the first thing you said, the AAF didn't change enough from the NFL. They're just like, hey, we're more football.
Right.
But there was nothing to differentiate except that the football was bad.
Yeah.
The XFL knows they're probably not going to be as good football-wise. They're not as good football-wise. So what do? They give you extra access. It's a reality show.
It's a lot more access.
It's not just football. It's a football reality show, which you get none of from the NFL. And there's a few quirky rules and things like that that get you to come in. Mm-hmm. But what'll get you to come back? I don't know. You want to see the inner workings of a football game? You don't get that in the NFL. Yeah. You know, you get this really tailored, see what we want you to see, look into the NFL. This gives you more of a look into how football is played. I think that's the smartest thing that they've done. All of the access is the smartest thing that they've done because the NFL gives you none.
Exactly right. And that's what I will watch this again. Because of all the access, just I like the communication. I like hearing what they're thinking. Now they all know they're on camera, so maybe they're gonna
a little more guarded.
It's gonna be more guarded,
playing certain things up.
To counter your point on that, though, I mean, I agree with you. There is a lot of that stuff, you know, with the going in the interviews and so forth, and just hearing from the coaches being mic'd up and stuff. But they kind of have to do that because you don't know anything about these guys. Sure, they can be journeymen. They may not have had a shot in the NFL, but they have to get that profile out there on them because everyone knows who could be a linebacker on the Carolina Panthers or the Jacksonville Jaguars, for say. But the XFL, you have to build a profile on these guys. Yep. And what better guy to do that to tell you who's who in a character? Mr. Vince McMahon.
Yeah.
That's the guy right there.
XFL. Unbelievable.
Well, yeah,
unbelievable.
You're a big wrestling fan.
Vince McMahon. But I love what Vince McMahon
well,
is doing.
To Vince's
of course
credit.
You love what Vince McMahon is doing. We know that.
To his credit, the first time around the XFL, total failure.
Yeah, it was not so hot.
They were still making up rules 6 hours before the game. This time around, they took a year off to evaluate, and now here they are.
You know why I think it might be a success, and then I'll get on maybe to my other point here, is the guy running it, Andrew Luck's father,
Oliver
Luck, everything he's touched in the past has turned to gold. He's a very, very bright guy. And I thought, you know,
what
that was one of the first.
What has he done in the past? I know he's an AD somewhere.
He was an AD, but he was also like head of one of the conferences, like Big Ten.
Oh, maybe that's what it was. Maybe you're right. Maybe it wasn't an AD. Maybe he was the head of one of the conferences in the NCAA.
He's done something.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born. And at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with a solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.